Hello and welcome to the Toras Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlian and today we will be studying Tehillim, Perek Mem Tes 49. This Perek is a universal one, and unlike the other Prakim of Tehillim, which have maybe one or two Psukim as an introduction, this Perek actually has five Psukim as an introduction to our topic. Lamanatzeich Levnei Korach Mizmar, another song of the B'nai Korach, a song that everybody should listen to and that will resonate with all mankind. Shimu zos kol ha'amim ha'azinu kol yoshvei chaled, gam b'nai Adam, gam b'nai Ish, yachad ashir ve'evyon, every caste of society, Jew and non-Jew, wealthy and poor alike. What I'm about to say is coming from my mouth, and they are words of wisdom and deep understanding that emanate from my heart. It's a heartfelt message. Pasuk Dalid, Pi yedaber chachmos v'hagus libi tevunos. Therefore, atel mashal azni eftach b'chinor chidasi. It is such a profound message that I'm not just speaking to all of you, but the message is for me to listen to as well. I will bend my ear to this parable, and I hope to solve this riddle of life with my kinor. The music brings the meshorer to a level of simcha that brings him Ruach HaKodesh. Counterintuitive, really, that it should bring him to simcha, considering the subject matter, as we will see. And we also see from the psukim that the tool of music is being used by the meshorer to bring the message home. It's really quite fascinating and inspirational, I think, that the meshorer is pointing to the music as an avenue to help him solve a riddle. As we know, music opens up neural pathways, it relaxes us, but most of all, the right music can really be a spiritual experience. Therefore, the Meshorer is stressing that with the help of the Kinnor, he will open up, he will solve this riddle. Atel mashal azni eftach b'chinor chidasi. From the Jewish-centered perspective, the mashal, the parable that is being referred to here is the Torah. And that is, the Torah is the ultimate mashal, it's the ultimate parable, because it was divinely given to us, it is godly, yet it speaks to mortal man in language that we can understand in order to instruct us. And here, the Meshorer is posing the ultimate existential question and the subject that really every human being thinks about, and that is the subject of our mortality. Pasuk Vav, Lama ira bimei ra, avon akeva yisubeni. The Perek is speaking to a man who spends his whole life in this world searching for and amassing material pleasures without thinking about the world to come. Therefore, he says, why do I fear the days of evil? Meaning, as I get older and I think about my mortality, I fear it because if I keep on focusing on amassing more wealth and satiating every urge I have, then at the end of my life, I will have ignored the important things in life. The mistakes of missing those things The mistakes of missing those things will surround me and choke me as I approach my end. This is a universal message. Think about people that have not spent their lives focusing on family, on contributing to society, on living a moral life. They place themselves front and center. They will have an incredible dread of death because they will have contributed nothing to society. And the message for Am Yisrael, of course, is that a life that was spent focusing on the wrong things means that we may have ignored the mitzvos that we could have done. Were we so self-absorbed that we ignored the small, seemingly inconsequential mitzvos, the ones that we are dash ba'akvo, that we kick with our heel, avon, akeva yisubeni, the sins that I kicked with my heel will surround me. Have we perhaps been too self-centered that we missed the details? Have we missed an opportunity to really see our neighbor and realize that perhaps she needed help? Have we missed our co-workers' sad eyes and failed to ask, is there anything that I can do? Have we failed to hear our children tell us about the couple of details during their day at school because we were too busy on the latest Instagram post? You know why I fear death? It's the fear of the sins that may surround me, the mitzvos that I trampled upon. That is my real fear, the minutia, the details of life that I missed. Avon akeva yisubeni. Pasuk 7. Zion, habotchim al chelam uvarov ashram yishalalu. Men who trust in their riches, who glory in their great wealth. Ach lo pado yifte ish, lo yitein lelokim kafro. Any kind of wealth that a person has it won't be able to redeem man. And the psukim continue, v'ikar pidyon nafshan v'chadal li'olam v'yichi od la'netzach v'lo yireh ha'shachas. A person does not live forever. And eventually, the person will see his grave. But if a man is solely focused on wealth and power, he'll come to realize that wealth cannot redeem man. It does not give him eternal life. And if his money and his possessions are used incorrectly as an end in and of itself, it will give him no real deep satisfaction or a sense of fulfillment. Pasuk Yud Aleph, ki yir'echa chamim yamusu yachad kasil v'va'ar yovedu v'azvul acherim chelam. The wise men die together with the fool and the empty boar, and they leave behind their wealth. The difference is that the chacham, the wise man, dies physically, but because he used his material possessions for a higher purpose, he will earn his place in Olam Haba, Yamusu, whereas the fool who has worked so hard during his life at chasing futility, his death will not leave him with anything everlasting, Yovedu, they will be utterly destroyed. And Pasuk Yud Beis, 12. Kirbam batemo le'olam mishkanosam ledar vadar, kir'u bishmosam ale adamos. We imagine kirbam, their insides are imagining, their thoughts are focused on their homes, that our homes, our vacation homes, our stuff will last forever. The ones that chase after wealth proclaim their names, the power hungry, the ones seeking the limelight. They want their names up in lights. Or kirbam batemo is a play on words, kivram. If a person focuses only on wealth, their grave, kivram, their kever will be forever, meaning that there is nothing past their grave. They will not earn eternal life. And pasuk yud gimel, va'adam bikar bal yolin nimshal kebehemos nidmu. Man does not rest with what he originally thought was precious, meaning money, says the Ibn Ezra. He can't take what he originally thought was precious. He can't take that money with him. A man that has spent his life chasing futility is compared to a silenced animal. And the psukim continue along the same lines in psukim yudalid through tezayin 14 through 16. And in psukim yudzayin and yudches 17 and 18, the famous psukim, al tira ki ya'ashir ish, ki yirbech vodo beso, ki lo b'moso yikach hakol, lo yered acharav kvodo. Don't be afraid when you see evil people amassing money and assets and power. We think that they may not have a care in the world. Everyone has it better. If only we could afford what they could afford. If only we could take that massive vacation. If only we could do what they are doing. Or we may see evil people who amass money and power and think, how do they have it all? Why is life so easy for them? Why are they deserving of it? And we may think we are nothing compared to those powerful people who flaunt their money, who use their money to get ahead of the regular Joe. But we know that wealth does not buy us eternity. We can't take it with us. The letters that are etched on almost every Jewish tombstone. Tuf, Nun, Sadi, Beis, Hey. Tehi nafsho tzura b'tzor hachayim. His soul should be bound up with the ties of eternal life. Unfortunately, we know that the phenomenon of focusing and looking at the wealthy person as if he has it all really crosses religious and cultural boundaries. In our society, we know there's the saying, the old Yiddish saying, "Vervus hut the maya hut the daya." Somebody who has the maya, the hundreds, meaning he has the money, he has the opinions. You know, people go to him and ask his opinion. Let's hope that that's just the cynic in us, and we have to really understand that. Thank God there are those that are blessed with economic success. And really use that success to fund so much of our religious life and institutions. Using their assets to serve Hashem. We know without financial backing, much of our endeavors would be difficult, if not impossible. So what are we talking about here? Are we saying that wealth is a bad thing per se? Is this parak encouraging socialism? Is it encouraging poverty? I mean, think about the promise to Avram Avinu, that Hashem told Avram Avinu that after his descendants would leave the Shibud Mitzrayim, v'acharechein yetzu b'ruchush gadol, they will leave with a lot of wealth. So clearly, wealth in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. So what are B'nai Korach really telling us? One possibility is not to place our trust and attention in money, but on Hashem and in Hashem. And when we do that, the assets that we have will be tools only as a way to serve God. Our assets will not define us, and they're not there to wield power or showcase our bottom line to others. In the words of Rabbi Avraham Twersky Zatzal, when speaking about life in the last generation, he says, quote, "Life back then could not be very materialistic. The amount of distress and suffering experienced by people did not allow for a materialistic outlook on life. Given today's comforts and conveniences, many people have come to see the goal of life as being attainment of maximum pleasure. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the goods of the world. However, what has happened in the modern world is that pleasure has been equated with happiness and has become the goal in life. Anyone who feels that he/she has not gotten their fair share of pleasure feels cheated. And some people, especially youngsters, turn to drugs to find quote-unquote happiness. We should not lose sight of the fact that the goal of life is spiritual rather than physical," end quote. Wise words to consider from Rabbi Twersky when it comes to the choices we make, the priorities we set, and the chinuch we invest in our children. There certainly is a lot of talk and advertisements about self-care, about pampering oneself. The discerning person will make his own determination if the pursuits he chooses are excessive or if they truly contribute to his avodas Hashem and into our ability to do the jobs we are meant to do as parents, as family members, as community members, or do they detract from our roles. There's a lot to say here and discuss and debate. But engage in discussions and healthy debate with your friends, with your family. It's a good topic, isn't it? Because after all, the last pasuk, which is an almost exact repetition of pasuk in Gimel, Adam bikar v'lo yavin nimshal kebehemos nidmu. Man with all of his glory really won't understand what life is about if he continuously chases after the wrong things. And in death, at Me'a v'esrim, we will be likened to silenced animals. It's a pretty sobering perek. Could be a bit morbid, but when we turn it around and look at the alternative, it can be uplifting. That it's giving us a recipe. We don't want a life of futility and a life of chasing emptiness. And we are given the gift of the advice from the B'nai Korach on how to be discerning when we make our life's choices. I saw a beautiful idea from Rabbi Frand that relates to our topic. In Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayetze, Parak Chaf Ches, Pasuk Yud Beis, we know that Yaakov left his parents to escape from the clutches of Esav and has a dream of a ladder with angels going up and down. Vayachalom, v'hinei sulam, mutzav arza, v'rosho magia hashamayma, v'hinei malachei elokim olim v'yordimbo. One of the many symbolisms of this sulam of the ladder, according to the Medrash, is that it represented two of Yaakov's descendants, Moshe Rabbeinu, who ascended the ladder to heaven, and the other was Korach, who descended the ladder into the oblivion of the earth that swallowed him up. Both were wealthy men. Korach's wealth gave him illusions of grandeur as he attempted to usurp the power and gain more power. And Moshe, the Anav Mikol Hadam, had absolutely no focus on his material possessions and was the greatest of all prophets. The Baal HaTurim tells us that the gematria for Sulam, ladder, is 136, as is the gematria, the numerical value, for Oni, poverty, Ayin, Vav, Nun, Yud, and Mamon, money, because both poverty and wealth can be used to ascend or descend the ladder. Money can be used to serve Hashem or create distance. On the other hand, poverty is also a great trial in life and can either push a person away from God because of the incredible challenges that it brings. But when a person lives with those challenges, he can attain true happiness and internal happiness and ascend to great spiritual heights on that sulam, on that ladder. The sons of Korach were inspired to compose this song about our priorities, and they give us a handbook, how to deal with our material possessions. And who else would be so connected to this subject? The sons of Korach, who did a 180 from their father's approach to power and wealth, and his descendants sang about these ideas in future generations. They indeed pass on the message, Al tira ki ashir ish, ki yerbe kavod beso, ki lo b'maso yikach hakol, lo yered acharav kavodo. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmos, Helen Moskovitz, and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II She'eris HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.